This is Steve. This podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus, no matter what you're going through today. Listen, all of us make mistakes. We all have our problems, right? In fact, this very message experiences some technical difficulties in the first 90 seconds. And so it's kind of hard to listen to at first, but if you can get through the first minute and a half with this message, it'll clear up, and I think it'll be worth it, because as we study the letter of 1 John, John is really clear with us how we can tell if God's light is really on in our lives. Well, we thought we'd have a little fun with the whole idea from the 80s, because as we talked last week, studying the letter of John to the church at Ephesus, 1 John, we believe that he wrote it sometime in the late 80s, not the 1980s, but a whole different 80s. Yeah, he wrote it to the church because there had been this outbreak of false teaching, this Gnostic teaching, where they were teaching these truths that just confused the heck out of everybody, right? I mean, these people really were very, very worked up over this teaching that had come into the church. You know, they were teaching that Jesus wasn't even real, and that God was evil, and that everything in this physical world was the opposite of everything in the spiritual world. And so the physical world, everything in it is evil. So what that meant for you is that the way to be a child of the one true good God, not the evil creator God, the way to be a child of the good God was to know spiritual knowledge, to know something about him. So it doesn't matter what you do or don't do in this world, your lifestyle, your behavior, what you do and don't do doesn't matter. All that matters is what you know. And it split the church wide open, because that was not at all what the apostles had been. It wasn't what Paul taught, their church planter. It wasn't what John taught, their pastor. And so it split the church. It confused everybody, left everybody doubting and wondering, am I really a child of God or not? Is there something I don't know that I need to know or not? And it left a lot of people hurting and worried. And so in the 80s, in the late 80s, John writes this really important letter to draw some really good lines and say, hey, you can tell if you are in fact a child of God. And it's real easy to see why. And that's why we're studying this letter, is so that we can really be grounded in knowing who we are. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. In this sermon kind of partly comes from a message that I received a while back from someone asking a really good question. And I thought I would relay the message on to you. Here's what someone asked of me recently. So my friend is a Christian who is also gay. I believe that Scripture teaches that gay sex is sinful against God. If my Christian friend dies in her sin, will I see her in heaven? And I thought this was a really good question, an important question for us to wrestle with. Does my behavior actually affect my identity? Can I be a Christian and live in sin? What's the story on this? It's a good question, and it's worth us wrestling with. And it's really, you know, it's easy for us to answer the question when it's somebody else's sin than it's when our own, right? It's always easy to identify sin in other places. In fact, this is our big problem. We have this presumption going into it, and here it is, if you're following along, and I hope you are, it's the first blank on your page. Our presumption is that we know dark when we see it. We know dark when we see it. I may not know everything, but I know dark when I see it. We think we can always identify it really, really easily, right? I mean, we sure identify it easily when it's a headline, right? And when you know that people have died recently in our nation because of darkness. We identify dark. We know dark when we see it. Or when it's in history, you know, and we look back and we remember a time where darkness tried to take over the entire world. We know dark when we see it. We know darkness when we see it in the movies, right? Easy to spot in the movies, right? It's dark, wears the cape, and even breathes heavy, right? We know it's dark, right? And we know it's dark, we can identify darkness in literature too, right? We can recognize the fires of Mordor and the Tower of Sauron and all that stuff, right? We recognize that darkness is really obvious in other places. We think we know it when we see it. But here's what John says, and this ought to shed some light on who we are. Here's what John says. We looked last week at how he kind of introduces that Jesus is real, and then he makes this statement about God. Here's what he says in 1 John 1, 5. He says, "This is the message that we heard from Jesus and now declare to you that God is light and there is no darkness in him at all." God is light and no darkness in him at all. This whole idea of God being light is a big deal to John. John's always talking throughout this letter about God being light. And he keeps coming back to this idea of light. Light. He's always talking about light. If you're a child of God, you walk in the light. And John, in this letter, in 1 John, he's connecting not just, he's connecting light and right. For John, light and right, living right, living in the truth, he says, truth and right and light. It's all the same thing for John in this letter. He's kind of putting them all together as one idea, light, right, and truth. He's saying that's all the same thing. If God is light and you are walking in the light, he says, you know that you are a child of God. In fact, here's what he says in 1 John 2, 9. He says, if anyone claims I'm living in the light, but then has something that is dark in their life, if they say I'm living in the light, but if they hate a fellow believer, that person is still, in fact, living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. In other words, you can say that you're light, but be careful. Be careful. In 1 John 3:18, he says, "Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Let's don't just say we're light, but let's be right so that we can show that we are, in fact, part of the light." He says, our actions, Christians, our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. He says, our actions show it. If we are in the light, we'll live right. That's what he's saying here in this letter. So this whole idea of light without any darkness at all is a big deal to John. No darkness, no gray area, absolutely pure light from God. The way the author of Hebrews says it is, he says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is light. He always has been, always will be. The way James, the brother of Jesus, says it, he says that God is light and in him there are no shifting shadows. He casts no shifting shadows. In other words, there's not even a subtle hint of any change and any darkness in God. He is light, right? And John is all about this. In fact, John is all about it so much that it spills out of this letter. It's also in his gospel, where he's writing the gospel according to John, and he introduces Jesus in his gospel at the beginning, but not by name. Here's how he introduces Jesus. He says this in John 1, 9. He says, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So he describes Jesus as light before he ever writes Jesus's name in the gospel. And Jesus comes into the world and he gives light to everyone, right? He gives light to me and you. He makes me a child of the light. So he's the light and I'm in the light. So I'm light. You know, we recognize darkness in other places, but not here because I'm in the light, right? I'm good. I'm right, right? But here's what John says in 1 John 1, 6, and 7. So he says that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. And then he says this, the very next sentence, he says, so we are lying. We're lying if we have fellowship, if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not, in fact, practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship. In other words, we're unified, right? Jesus prayed that we would be one. His number one prayer request for us is that we would be unified, that we'd be one. Light unifies. Darkness separates, right? Darkness, sin, hurtfulness, it drives a wedge between me and you. It drives a wedge between me and God, right? Light unifies. So what is darkness? What is it about us that's dark? How do I know if I have darkness? How do I know if I can see it in other places, not me? How can I root it out in my life? How do I know if I've got any darkness? Well, a little later in the same letter, John describes what darkness looks like a little bit. And here's what he says in 1 John 2. First of all, he says, the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining. He says darkness is disappearing because the light is shining, right? And he uses this word that we translate disappearing, disappearing. Remember this word, we're going to come back to it in just a second. So he says darkness is disappearing. Just a couple of sentences later in 1 John 2:17, he says this world is fading away. He uses another word that sounds kind of like disappearing. This world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. So he says that darkness is disappearing and the world is fading away. Darkness is disappearing. The world is fading away. These aren't just similar ideas. I really think John's got the same idea here. In fact, we translate the words disappearing and fading away. But in fact, John doesn't have two different phrases here. He's got one word that he uses twice. It's the same word in both places. Darkness and the world are both parago. That's the word he uses. They're both parago. And the Greek word parago literally means to pass away, to go away is what it means. So he's saying that both darkness and the world are both parago. They're both passing away. He's linking darkness and this world. He's saying that this world and darkness go hand in hand. He's saying that this world is a dark world. So maybe he sounds a little bit like the Gnostics, right? This thing, this world is dark and evil. Is that really what he's saying? He's saying, but anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Is he teaching Gnostic teaching? Well, let's look at it. Let's zoom out of this verse a little bit, and let's look at it in a little bit broader context, and let's see what he says in 1 John 2. He says to us, to Christians, to people of the light, he says, do not love this world, nor the things that it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Do not love the world or the things of the world. And if you're like me, if you remember the 80s, then you're probably like me and you're going, don't love the world? No problem. No problem. I used to look at this verse in the light of materialism. You know, and that's true. You don't want to love the things this world has to offer, materialism. But I don't know about you, but these days, with every headline, with every tweet, with everything that seems to happen in this world, it seems like every day I feel like I belong here less and less. Am I right? Does anybody else feel that way? I mean, I feel more and more all the time like I do not belong here. And I watch the headlines and I watch the tweets and I see what all is going on. And frankly, it makes me sick to my stomach. I just want to vomit. I'm tired of it. It is wearing me out. It is not the same. I am not part of this. And I want nothing to do with it. So he says, don't love the world nor the things it offers you. No problem. No problem. I don't want anything to do with it. But he goes on and he says, for the world, here's why you shouldn't want anything from the world. The world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and a pride in our achievements and possessions. Right? So he says, these are the things that are parago, the things that are fading away, the things that are disappearing. The darkness is disappearing. What's parago? He says these specific things right there. Physical pleasure, craving for what we see, and pride in achievements and possessions. Right? Those things are fading away. The things like these are fading away. They're dark. They're things that you and I should have nothing to do with. So, please don't answer me out loud, but what does physical pleasure mean to you? How are you physically pleasured? What about craving for what you see? That's darkness. It's passing away. What does that even mean, craving for what you see? Isn't that what every screen in your possession is all about? Whether the screen is in your pocket or in your living room or it's on the kiosks in the Walmart. Doesn't every screen present something for you to crave? Right? I mean, isn't the world all about showing you stuff that you don't have that you ought to have? Showing you the ways you ought to look that you don't look. Showing you things you ought to do and wear that you don't have or can't do, right? Isn't that all about that? Everything in the world is offering you something to crave, something dark. I remember the 80s. In the early 80s, all my friends had the big poster that they looked at of Farrah Fawcett wearing that red swimsuit, right? And we all, why are you laughing? You know it's true. You had that poster too, right? No, I had one woman, no, okay. Born in 81. Shut. Okay. So never mind. Craving what we see. Born in 81, see, you didn't have the posters. You just have the click. And now instead of getting your mommy and daddy to buy you the poster, it comes to you. Craving for the things that we see. It's darkness. And it's going away. And it also offers us pride. Pride in the kingdom that we build for ourselves. Right? Look what I've accomplished. Look what I have. I got the biggest truck in the neighborhood. I got the nicest house on this hill. You know, look at what I've got. Look at what I've done. This is darkness. It is going away. And John says that only those that do what pleases God, only those that live in the light will last forever. I remember when my screen back in the 80s told me that diamonds are forever. But isn't that kind of what he's saying? I mean, isn't faith in God actually believing that the things that he has for you are like diamonds and the things of this world are nothing but gravel? Right? Isn't faith trusting that God's everything is better than this world's anything? Right? But yet we still, even though we think we're children of the light, you gotta be blind to choose gravel over diamonds. And we do it all the time. You gotta be in the dark. The lights are off in nobody's home in order to choose the gravel over the diamonds. Why do we do this all the time? Why do we choose to crave the things that are fading away? It's those things that aren't real. They are disappearing. They are going away. See, here's what I think John's telling us. I think he's telling us, next blank on your page, that dark is really craving the world more than God. Dark is choosing the gravel over the diamonds. It's choosing the things of this world when you had a chance to choose the things of God. I know it's hard to see it in yourself. I know it's hard to see it in yourself. Me too. So what does that look like in us? What does it look like in us good, light-filled Christians? Well, I mean, I tell you one way it looks, and this is something that I have struggled with all my life. Man, you know, God has been really clear that all that money that I have in my bank account, all that money, whatever it looks like, not a penny of it is mine.
Right.
Who is it? Who does it belong to?
God.
It's God's. He's the owner. I'm just the steward.
Right.
I'm just the servant that he has given some talents to leverage to build his kingdom. My problem is I act like I'm the owner. I act like I'm God. And so I take what I got and I leverage it for my kingdom. And I tried to build my accomplishments and possessions. I try to build my kingdom with it instead of his kingdom. Yeah, I've got a sense of false identity because I think it's all about me. I think I'm the owner. And I know you're like me. You want to be a good steward. You want to be faithful. You want to be a child of light, and you want to give and make a difference, you know? And I watch how a lot of you guys are really so good at it. You know, it's because of your giving that they were able to finally just complete that incredible Tower Road Playground project. You have given so that those underprivileged families out there in that community now have a beautiful turfed playground so that families can go out and laugh and play together. Isn't that great? That's because of your giving. You are giving to build the kingdom. And I know you want to do that. You want to give. You want to be used by God to actually make a difference in lives here in this world, to build God's kingdom. But you can't. You can't. Right? You know why you can't. Because the owner gave you a few talents to use for his kingdom, but you just had to have that bigger house. You know, you just had to take on that boat payment that you should never have taken on. You just had to have that bigger truck than your buddy did, right? You just had to go there, and you had to have it for yourself. God calls you to be a child of light, a builder of the kingdom, yet we choose gravel over diamonds. We choose darkness over light. And we do it so much. What is this about us? What is it that there's this dark thing just beneath the surface of us? We come together and we all look like light. We all sound like light. We know the lingo and the secret handshake, right? We all know how to be the light on the surface, but just beneath the surface, there's something dark lingering there. We're like fine print Christians. You know what I mean by fine print. This weekend, my wife and I just needed to get her away for a minute because it's been crazy. She's been in the run-up to school starting, and she works in administration at the high school. And so the last few weeks before school starts is a crazy marathon of stress and potential disaster happening and work until 11, 12 o'clock at night and being there all weekend and all kinds of stuff like that. It's just been nuts for her. But school finally got started this week, and so she's able to breathe just a little bit, and I just knew I needed to get her out for a minute. So I got on Airbnb and just tried to find a room up near the Great Smokies, you know, just to get her away for a minute. And so I'm looking on there, and I found a pretty nice thing with multiple rooms and a kitchen. I mean, we're only going one night. We didn't need all that stuff. But, dude, it was a great deal for $110 a night. Now, you can get a cheaper room up there a little bit, but this was really nice for $110, really nice for $110. So I was like, dude, book that. Really excited about it. And then it takes you to the page where you actually have to pay, and it gives you the list of all the charges that are included. So this $110 a night room comes with a cleaning fee, with an administrative fee, and with taxes, and my grand total before checkout was $470. Yep, I am not lying. In fact, I logged out and started over again just to make sure I was looking at it right. And sure enough, $470 because of fine print, because of hidden fees, because of surprise charges. I saw what they were offering on the surface, but there was something dark just beneath. Come on, I'm right, am I right? Yeah, yeah. But isn't that who we are so much? Man, for some of us, for most of us, maybe for all of us, we're really light on the surface. But dude, if the people on the row in front of us or the row behind us right now knew what we know about what's just underneath the surface, knew what we bring in to this room with us, we'd be devastated. Because we look like light, but there's darkness just underneath the surface, right? Sort of like, well, here's what John says in 1 John 1:5. We'll go back to it again, read it again. Here's what it says. It says, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you, that God is light. And in him, there's no darkness at all. Right? We have this. We just have this. And we are so confused about it that a lot of times we think that we're light and we think we're operating light in our lives, but really we're operating darkness. You know, I got a friend in this church, and he's a baseball coach here in town. And turns out that there got to be some talk about this guy, that he was having this illicit relationship with his girlfriend. And all the baseball mamas around the baseball diamond talked and talked and talked. And you know how that goes. You got this nugget of truth, but by the time you talk about it three times, it's this big. And then you talk about it two or three more times, and now it's this big. And by the time it's all said and done, the gossip mill has been running, and everybody's talking about the being the light into their lives. But by the time it's all run, there's all this smoke that's been blowing, but only very, very little fire. So the elders are getting wind of this, and we go, all of us, and we sit down with the people involved. We sit down to talk, to say, how can we bring light into the situation? How can we bring repentance about this? And what we found out was that, seriously, about 90% of what all the gossip mamas were talking about was not even true. Lots of smoke, almost no fire at all. Very little of it being actually reality. Some of it just perception. Somebody saw something and they connected dots that don't exist, you know. And it got way out of hand, and these two people, their reputations have been just destroyed because of darkness in our family, in our lives. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. There's no darkness lurking just underneath. There's no fine print. What does it look like for you? Maybe it's not gossip for you. Maybe it's not giving for you. Maybe it's in your business transactions. Are you above board in all your business transactions? How do you treat your employees or your clients? Do you bring them in and bait and switch? How does that really work for you? Is there looking like light on the outside, but really just beneath? Or maybe it's the screen you look at home when you think nobody else is looking. What are you looking at home? What does it look like for you? You know, John is really clear that if we say we have no sin, we are lying to ourselves. That's the thing about darkness. Next blank on your page is dark is deceptive. Dark is deceptive. We think we can see it everywhere else, but we can't see it in ourselves very well. When we're in darkness, we are blindly choosing gravel over diamonds. But Jesus comes into our life and he brings light, pure light with no false advertising. Here's what John says. The very next thing he says about us lying to ourselves, he says this. He says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Yeah, he forgives, because all of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. And for all of us, the wages of sin is death. God punishes sin, right? But Jesus steps in and he says, I don't have any sin to pay for. Let me cover yours. And God was willing to put all of my sin and your sin onto Jesus. And Jesus paid for it. He was punished on my behalf. He died for me and for you. And he rose again with new life to fill us with that abundance, to give us the diamonds of God so that we don't have to hold on to the disappearing gravel of this world. And he says, if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just. And I love what he says. I love this picture he draws here. Because so many of us think that a relationship with God means that I've been forgiven. And it does. But that's only such a small part of the picture. There was this transaction. If you've come into the light, come into Christ, he forgave you of every sin you ever did commit and every sin you ever will commit. You are forgiven, but that's not all. Your salvation is so much better than just a simple transaction, because he's faithful and just, not just to forgive us our sins, but also to cleanse us from all wickedness. You see, not only do we get the forgiveness of sins, but we also have this lifelong process that Jesus leans into, and he cleanses us from darkness. He changes our appetite over the course of our lives from gravel to diamonds, right? He purifies us, and he makes us long for and want what he has for us rather than to wallow in the disappearing gravel of this dark world. That's what he does for us. He cleanses us. And forgiveness and cleansing, it's a package deal. You buy one, you get one free. The whole thing comes together. I know I've heard a lot of Christians teach that when you get saved, you get forgiven. And then this somehow is like an opt-in later on. Not true. Jesus, what he did for us on the cross was sufficient to give us the whole thing, not just part. His work is good. And it's done. So here's what that looks like. Here's what that looks like in our life. If you're in the light, here's what that looks like. 1 John 3:9. Here's what John tells us. He says, those that have been born into God's family now do not make a practice of sinning. We don't diet on gravel because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. You see that? If you're in the light, you can't keep on sinning. Now, I've heard some people take this verse out of context and interpret it in a way that John never intended. Read 1 John. Read the whole book. Just go home today, read the whole book. It'll take you 15 minutes. Short book. It's a great book. Get it on your Bible app and let it just read it to you if you want to. It's great. So John never intended for anyone to think that this passage means that a Christian living in the light is, you know, somehow physically incapable of sinning. I mean, I know for sure that as long as I've been saved, that I'm still capable of sinning. I know this because I'm married. And I'm reminded all the time. Am I right, wives? My wife is not here right now, so I can say that. Yeah, so I know I'm fully capable of continuing. It's not that he doesn't say that somehow you're magically sinless. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is when you stepped into the light, now you can see. Now you're not blindly stumbling in the darkness eating gravel anymore. Now you're not limited to being a slave into darkness and the things that are disappearing. But he's saying, now you can see. You can see what the truth is. And you have caught a glimpse of the wonderful gift that God has given you in Christ. And you take it so for granted. I do too. I take it so for granted that God loved me and sent his son for me. But dude, think about this for a second. How could he love me? How could he love me? I murdered his son. Right? It's my sin that drove the nails into the hands and feet of Jesus. Can you imagine loving the murderer of one of your children? I don't think I could. But God so loved the world that he didn't hold that against us. He sent his son to take the punishment for my sin. He chose to see through my darkness and to love me despite who I was and despite what I've done and despite what I will ever do. He's chosen to love me and give me his son. And when you and I catch a glimpse of that, we can't help but want more of that. When we catch a glimpse of that, we can't stand being part of the darkness of the world anymore. We just want more. I can't keep sinning because I love you and I want more of you. That's what he's saying here. He's saying that the child of God, the child of light, just can't keep on sinning. Next blank on your page is this. Being a child of God doesn't mean sinless. It means that you sin less and less. He forgives and he cleanses. He forgives, he justifies us, and he cleanses, he sanctifies us. He's making us more and more in his image to be like him. That's why I love our deeper classes, because they're all about helping you see him better. It's like turning the dimmer switch of the light all the way up in your life so that you can see in the light. If you haven't signed up for one of those classes, I'm begging you, sign up for it. You can do it on your handout that's on the back seat back in front of you, or you can do it digitally on the orchard.life. I really encourage you to see him more so that you will, last blank on your page, choose the diamonds over the gravel. Choose God's diamonds for your life instead of the gravel that you've been chewing on.